Hey everyone, this is Nick. Thanks for joining us for the Circuit Riders Podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions community here in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. This podcast is from our Circuit Rider Experience, which is a 7-month discipleship training school. Hope you enjoy.
Okay, take your seats. Want to punch forward here. We're going to have a fun rest of the time here. Who's encouraged right now? Who feels like you just went through a car wash deep dive and you're like, I might need a nap and a coffee right now? Amen. Lord, supernatural impartation. Okay, here we go. The next thing I want to do here is this will be a little bit shorter exercise, but I think equally powerful. So the second route I want to go after, and we're going to use this little portion of time. So root number one that Laura and I always begin with is injustice. In general, it's been our experience. There's no Bible verse for this, so I'm just telling you our experience. You can take it or leave it as the Spirit leads. You get the biggest bang for buck when helping others through freedom when you go after injustices. When you help them so much, so many strongholds and patterns in life are rooted in those pain points. So we just kind of always look at that like a giant bulldozer is going through your life and you're just clearing the land of just like so much there. Secondary route that we always go to in terms of roots of strongholds is word curses. Everyone say word curses.
Word curses.
Okay, grab a Bible, a pen and paper. I'm gonna hit you with some scriptures here. Lord, give us grace. I know pivoting is hard. Lord, there's a part of us when we just do a deep dive that just wants to mentally check out. But we ask for just the grace, just lean in and take another swipe at the enemy right now. We want to pay back all the things he's given to us in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. So give us a supernatural, a grace, an anointing, a baptism, an unction to lean forward and to take more territory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to just do a little, some Bible homework here real quick. I'm going to land it for you, and then we're going to do some corporate prayer punches. As a family, we're going to surge. You guys into that?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. If you want to write these down, you can go back later. I recommend that you do. Here it is. I'm going to read a large portion of Scripture, and then I've got a couple of additions. I'm going to break these down. Here we go. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, if you want to go there, you can. If you just want to listen, that's fine. This whole section is titled The Taming of the Tongue. I'm going to build a case. Okay, I'm going to build a case for you, so track with me through this. Here we go, James chapter 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Verse 5, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. Wow, that's strong language right there. It corrupts the whole person. Sets the whole course of his life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. That's not a good fire. Like, man, I want the fire of God. That'd be like a negative fire, a destructive fire. Everyone say destructive fire. Okay, verse 7. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. Verse 8. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Did you guys capture that? Verse 9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. You should underline the word curse. It's a strong word, the word curse. Who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. All right, that's big right there. Okay, write this one down. Psalm 141, verse 3. It's a psalm of David, David's prayer. Verse 3 says this, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Think about that. David praying to God, set a guard. Literally, what he's saying is like a restraint, like put a restraint on my mouth. Guard my mouth, because he has an intuitive understanding that there's power in what comes out of my mouth.
What reference
is that? Yeah, great question. Psalm 141, verse 3. Thank you for asking. You're welcome. Psalm 141, 3. Okay, next one. Proverbs 18. We doing okay? Proverbs 18, verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I'm going to read it again. Proverbs 18, 21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Okay? I want to paint a picture real quick. Everyone look up here at me. Scripture saying, I want to take Proverbs 18, I want to take it in a literal sense. I don't want to take it metaphorically. And I think that's the temptation, is to go like, wow, what strong language, but who can really live up to that? So I'm just going to metaphorically push it to the side and give myself the freedom to say whatever I want. And then we'll just, you know, kind of hope for the best. And so what I'm challenging in is that Scripture raises the bar on us in terms of the words of our mouth. And it provides two categories, that every word that comes from your mouth falls into one of two categories. It is either a word of life or a word of death. So are we that intent on the language of our mouth as a David would be, where he's saying, put a guard on my mouth? Because he recognizes if it comes out, it's going into one of those two categories. How's everyone doing? Okay, I'm going to propose this thought. The tongue has limitless potential for good. I want you to capture that. Because the obvious thing here is to go to the negative implication. How many of you right away have even an inkling of conviction, just a little bit of conviction, like, oh, snap, my words, raise your hand. Okay, and I want to go there, but I want to preserve that emotion. So put a pin in that. Come back with me to positive land. I want to take you, I want to empower you first. I don't want to go to the negative right away. I want to go to the empowerment of the positive, because your tongue also has the power of life in it. So if you have the potential to bring supernatural life everywhere you go, every single day, and nothing is off limits, why don't we wield that weapon more? Why are we so reserved with our words when the Lord says there's nothing stopping you from bringing life in every single encounter you have every single day? You can be a life-bringing machine. The tongue has limitless potential for good. Pause. Everyone look at me. Metaphor. What if I literally said to you, if I have this power, if I said, I'm going to put my hands on your hands and I'm going to turn on power and authority to heal the sick, and you have the ability to heal every sickness on earth. Go out and have fun. How many of you feel like right away, what would you, just that sense of empowerment, what would you begin to do immediately? Would you just be like, hey, let's go to the movies and just we'll get around to it? Or how many of you would be like, shoot, if I've got the power to literally heal the sick right now, just turn me loose, I'm gonna go find them. How many of you would feel like I'm a machine right now? Just like heal, touch, boom. You just go do that. But what I'm saying to you is the Bible says your tongue has that power every day. So why are we not equally motivated and energized to go, dude, I'm going to be a wrecking ball for God. Just every encounter, life. Tongue has limitless potential for good. Every day under the control of the Holy Spirit, our words can encourage, heal emotional bruises and pain, bring forth physical healing, soothe an agitated and anxious person, give hope to the despondent and significance to the ignored, can make one's home a paradise. Make or break a marriage relationship. It can build up children. It can advocate for justice and defend good. It can honor, praise, and worship God and cultivate love, just to name a few. So if we have that capacity for good through your words, why are we not wielding that more generously? Two illustrations for the power of the tongue and words. We just read it. James chapter 3, verse 3 through 5 gives us two examples. It says our words are, our tongue is like a, it's like a bit in the mouth of a horse, which is a funny picture. Okay, and a rudder on a ship driven by powerful winds. What is he saying? What's the metaphor? Let me explain what he means. It's very, very simple. What do those two pictures have in common? Very simple. Words determine the course of your life. Words will determine the course of your life. There's an old saying that was popular when I was a kid growing up. I'm 43, so let's talk the 80s right now. But it was real popular, which was sticks and stones may break my bones, but words. And I just want to challenge that. Is that true? Is that what the Bible teaches us? It's not true. But actually, Scripture teaches us that words are incredibly powerful. And we've not even really gotten into the real demonic nature that when words are spoken that are energized by the enemy, there's an actual demonic power on those words that can have an incredibly negative effect on someone's life and or future. Our words reveal the inner person and they characterize our person. In other words, your words reveal the real you. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 37 says this, make a tree good and its fruit will be good.
Can you repeat that, please?
Yeah, the address or the verse?
The address.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for stopping me. Anyone can stop me anytime. Here we go. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 37.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Says this, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you, and this is key, man, go to your Bible and underline this. Hinge point for the whole little session here. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Just take an amen and go get a coffee on that one right there. Does anyone else have a fear of the Lord? Literally on the day of judgment, the Lord goes, I got a box over here. It's called All the Careless Words You Said. Let's have a walkabout through this. I'm going to be like, oh, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus. Mercy, God. I'm going to continue reading. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. When I was growing up, my pops, who's awesome, love him. He's amazing. He really is an incredible man. And I could spend an hour on that. But he had this saying he'd always say to me. He'd say, Matt, if you don't have anything good to say, all right, I'm going to do that one more time. Come on, we can do better now. If you don't have anything good to say,
don't say it at all.
Okay, I love that, and you should live that, but I want to propose this. Is that really a sufficient answer?
No.
Because a good man brings good out of the good stored up in him. A bad man brings bad out of the bad stored up in him. So if you have a revelation that I have nothing good to say about you, that God's highest is just to be quiet, I think the deeper issue is, why do you have nothing good to bring out of you? And is it possible that God is saying it's not just good enough to go, I need to stop gossiping, I need to stop saying negative things, and I'm just going to sit quietly. Maybe the Lord's saying, no, it's higher than that. The kingdom is a kingdom of the heart. And the issue is, if you have nothing good to bring out of you, why is that? Why can you not go to that person and say, I'm here to bless you, I'm here to heal you, I'm here to fill you with hope, I'm here to literally encourage you, which means to fill with courage. I'm going to give you courage right now. And I remember for a few years, I just started getting quiet. And then the Holy Spirit said, is that the best you got? Or can we go higher, Matt? Can you be an instrument of blessing? But to be an instrument of blessing, you have to, it can't be here, it is here. It's the heart. Everyone say heart.
Heart.
Without Christ in our hearts, there's nothing good stored up inside of me out of which to bring good things. That is the essence of the gospel. James chapter 3, verse 9 through 12, which I read, says this, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters. This should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And I just want to close with this little exhortation, is withholding good can be equally as damaging as speaking negative words. So if the Lord has given you good to say, is it okay to hold that back? If the Lord, and I just remember the Lord challenged me as a younger man, because I would have these, this would happen randomly to me, as I would have, and this would be so funny, so simple, but it was really transformative for me, is I would have randomly positive thoughts that would pass through my mind about other people, but it never occurred to me to go over and say those things to them. And I remember this happened for a couple years, and then the Lord just quickened my spirit, and the Lord goes, do you feel like you're the generator of those thoughts? Or are you hearing my words? And if you're hearing my words, why do you think I gave you those words? Is it just so you would think positively? Or am I calling you to go be an instrument of blessing? And so the Holy Spirit quickened me, challenged me, goes, as a matter of habit now, anytime, I'm gonna say that again, that's a big deal. Anytime that you have a positive thought about someone, my challenge to you is never withhold. Yes. At the end of your day, can I give an account that everything was given to me that was life-giving, I was faithful to sow into that person? Can be a text message, can be a phone call, can be a voicemail, can be a run over and a high five, can be simple. Sometimes in our culture, it's been so demoralized to be an encourager, it's been so mocked that we've given that up. How many in the room would say like me, when you try to say something positive, you feel kind of like a dork. You feel like, ah, I feel semi-cheesy right now. This is so lame. So the enemy's just robbed from us culturally that it's cool to be a life bringer. Wow. But I want to say maybe we're supposed to bring back the kingdom as a kingdom where we believe it's our culture to bring life. And I'm not asking you to go hyper over the top, like where everyone's like, man, I can't be around you because it's just, no, I'm just sort of like in a normal way, like, hey, you're amazing. You're so hungry. Man, thank you for encouraging me. Have an epic day. Boom. You're just going on about your day. Whenever I have my quiet time in the morning, this regularly happens, is I'm trying so hard to just hear the Lord for just loving God. And this is, I can ask Lord, it's a weird thing. I don't know what happens for me. But whenever I feel like the Lord's presence is close, it's the only way I describe it is the Lord will brag about other people. It's like the Lord's like, I don't want to talk about you, Matt. I want to talk about this person and this person and this person. And so I've made it a matter of habit. I don't always succeed 100%, but it tries to become my habit to go, if the Lord drops that goodness in me, then I don't want to hold on to the goodness. I want to give it away. What would your homes be like if everyone committed to the culture of being a life bringer with your words? Life, life, life. What would your tour teams be like? Life, life, life. What would your family be like? Life, life, life. What would the rest of your life be like? Wherever God sends you in the future, you're in the marketplace and you work in the roughest industry in the world. Life, 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 life. I'm not going to give in to the salt water. I'm not going to talk like you talk. I'm not going to get on with the scuttlebutt and the conversation around the water cooler. No. As for me, like, what would it be like if you had a reputation that everyone knows you just better not gossip around them because they're going to interrupt your conversation and turn it into blessing? How are we doing? So here's what we're going to do as a matter of application. I'm going to come back to strongholds. The second core root that we have found that's at the base of a lot of our strongholds is simply words that have been spoken over you that were energized demonically by the enemy. They were words of death that were counter to what God had said was true. He works through people to speak those things over your life. And the goal, the enemy's highest goal, is when those word curses are spoken, don't miss what I'm about to say, it's going to help you in your life. The enemy's highest goal is that when that word curse is spoken, you will ingest it as truth and you will adopt it as truth and you will begin to speak those curses over yourselves. So I'm not really worried today about all the negative and not nice things people said about you, but what I want to dial in today is, what do you say about yourself in the secret place? Is it possible that some of you speak to yourself in a way that you would never speak to another person? Is it possible some of you use words about yourself when you're frustrated? I see nods right now. I'm not calling you out. Is it possible some of you use words and names and phrases when you're frustrated with yourself that you would never let leave your lips towards somebody else? But yet you're your own harshest critic. You're most frustrated with yourself. You're most impatient with your own development. development. And you've adopted the curses that the enemy has spoken over you, and you're rehearsing those. And what I'm trying to say is, in the invisible realm, those words are not powerless. But when I speak those negative words over myself in the invisible realm, there's power on those words, and they're setting the course of our life. So here's what I want to do. I want to stand up. Lord, we're just going to pray. Yeah. So I'll stand up together, and we're just going to punch through, break some word curses over us. Now listen, if you have no word curses over yourself, I want you to engage in this exercise as an act of intercession. I want to say this, that I think sometimes Gen Z has been so word cursed out of its mind, and the enemy's whole goal is that Gen Z would adopt that as the true narrative, that they would believe, well, if there is a God, this is what he thinks about me. Everyone says, we'll never be this, and we're this. And so the goal is that a generation would embody that negative rhetoric about it. Does that make sense? So as we're praying, you're praying for yourself, you're praying for everyone in the room, and we're contending for our generation. Are we all tracking on this? Okay, so Laura went to the Lord, and she's got four specific word curses that we're going to break over us. You guys feeling good? Okay, here we go. The first word curse we're going to break is this. It's the phrase that says, I am going to perpetuate all the patterns in my family. Divorce, addiction, rejection, etc. So whatever that pain point you've seen, it's the enemy wants you to rehearse that and say, that's going to be me. I'm going to turn out just like that. Okay? Let's all pray this together. And this is how you break a word curse. You just take authority over it. You call it a lie. And in Jesus' name, you command it to break. That's how. That's how we do. So simple. Everyone say simple.
Simple.
Pray this with me. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I break up.
I break up.
With the lie.
With the lie.
And the word curse.
And the word curse.
That I'll perpetuate my generations.
That I'll perpetuate my generations.
I'll be just like them.
I'll be just like them.
I command that curse to break.
I command that curse to break.
Okay, next one is this. It's this statement. I am afraid for my future. And it's every fear statement rolling around in your head and coming out of your mouth about your future. What if I fail? What if I fall short? What if I don't make it? What if I'm not chosen? What if I don't? What if I? And the enemy's just saying, man, I love that. Just pile on another layer of the word curses. And what we're doing is we're breaking up with that narrative and saying, no, we're speaking words of life over our future. Everyone pray this with me. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I take authority.
I take authority.
Over every word curse.
Over every word curse.
About my future.
About my future.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
My future belongs to Jesus Christ.
My future belongs to Jesus Christ.
He has power.
He has power.
I pray the power of the enemy.
The power of the enemy.
Over my future.
Over my future.
I take authority over my thoughts.
I take authority over my thoughts.
They belong to Jesus Christ.
They belong to Jesus Christ.
Fear, you have no place.
Fear, you have no place.
I refuse to be a mouthpiece for the spirit of fear.
I refuse to be a mouthpiece for the spirit of fear.
Pray. Is every word you've spoken that is rooted in defeat over yourselves. I'm never going to break through. I'll never be free. I'll never have a clear mind. I'll never be able to not fill in the blank. So it's every way. And guys, listen, we do this. You're struggling to be free. You feel like you failed to be free. And so you give in to that rhetoric and you just speak those words. It's in a moment of weakness. Come on, raise a hand. Who's ever had a moment of weakness where you go like, I'll never. And then, you know, God pulls you back, but man, that word curses over my future. So here we go. Let's do this one together. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I break. Every word of defeat.
Every word of defeat.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I declare.
I will be free.
I will be to go crazy in this. Everybody loves to be around me.
Everybody loves to be around me.
Some of you are unsure on that, and in your mind, you don't like to be around yourself, and you assume everyone else feels that way, and they don't. That's a word curse. You're loved, you're wanted, you're needed, you're desired. Everyone say this with me. I'm loved.
I'm loved.
I'll do that again. I am loved.
I am loved.
I am wanted.
I am wanted.
I am needed.
I am needed.
I am part of the team.
I am part of the team.
I am significant.
I am significant.
I have a purpose.
I have a purpose.
Else's revelation. Everyone say this with me. I love to learn.
I love to learn.
I know that's a faith statement for some like me, and I don't have time to tell you my story, but I did not believe that. So let's take it one more time. I love to learn.
I love to learn.
I love to read.
I love to read.
I am capable of intelligent thought.
I am capable of intelligent thought.
No, that's real. Don't get me started, but some of you, I'm telling you right now, some of you had teachers that were demonically energized and they did not speak for God, and they told you silly things like you're not a good, demonically energized. No, that's real. That happens on the earth. Don't think that doesn't happen on the earth. Some of you, somebody in here was in second grade, you had a terrible teacher who in a moment of frustration popped off in the mouth, and that moment has stuck with you your whole life, and you've given up on your future because they said you're hard, you're difficult, you'll never learn, you're not this, you don't pay attention. So all this rubbish, and you picked it up, and you went, yeah, that's true, that's me. And I'm saying, no, that was not part of your Psalm 139 experience in the womb. That was the enemy. So say this in the everyone declare this. Come on. Come on, because I can't have any of you going, well, I just can't learn. So I'm just gonna somehow go. I am a learner. Say this to me. I am capable of learning.
I am capable of learning.
That teacher was wrong.
That teacher was wrong.
That parent was wrong.
That parent was wrong.
That other kid was wrong.
That other kid was wrong.
I bless them.
I bless them.
You, if you struggled in school your whole life, I wonder what God wants to do through your life that the enemy had to work so hard to convince you you were an idiot, to derail your future. So if you just go like, I'm convinced that I'll never, don't look now, but God is not limited by your I'll nevers, and the Lord's about to do something, okay? God, for your gifts, Lord. So helpful. Okay. Now we're getting down to business. It's got to get personal, so buckle up. Okay, the Lord says this phrase, listen, because we all have something. I just know that everybody's got something on this one. Can't hide. Here it is. I don't like this part of my personality. Everyone's got some part of you that you go, if you're honest, and listen, track with me. I think this is happens because it's the way the enemy works. Also happens in our modern day culture with all of the filters, is nothing is real. So everything is a conglomeration of attributes that we create impossible, quote, perfect people. And it happens in your head. You look around the room and you go, I wish I had the personality of this person and the gifts of this person and the strength of this person. And in your mind, it forms a super person that you can never measure up against. And I just want you to know that's a demonic activity. That's the enemy cursing you and saying, you'll never, you'll never, you'll never. And I want to challenge you this, but is there a day in your life you're going to look yourself in the mirror and go, man, dang, he did good. Is there a day you're going to look? Is there a day you're going to listen to the sound of your voice and go, honestly, I like the way I sound. God did great. Is there ever a day you're going to look at your personality and go, God doesn't make mistakes. He's perfect. So what's my problem with me? But can we all today break up with this perfection image against which you can never measure up? Listen, we're breaking up with what I call Hollywood Christianity. Hollywood Christianity, which you're where you're some perfect saint of a person. You have every physical attribute that the world says is beautiful, which by the way is all false anyway. It's all fake. It's not real. And then you go, I'll never live up to that. And then you don't know it, but God goes, man, I want you to love yourself because I'm filled with love for you. So let's break the argument over our lives. Are we tracking on this?
Yeah.
I break!
I break!
Every curse!
Every curse!
Over my personality!
Over my personality!
My gifts!
My gifts!
My talents!
My talents!
My physical appearance!
My physical appearance!
God made me who I am!
God made me who I am!
And I say yes!
And I say yes!
To loving myself
as Christ loves me.
Now, I don't need to go into this, but I'm not talking about a weird self-love thing, but I think we're smart enough to know that. So I'm not wasting my time on all that silliness. You guys know what I'm really talking about is that voice that haunts you where you go like, I just wish this part of me was different. That's the voice we're crushing in your head. I want, here's my goal. I know I'm going over the top on this and I'll come to the next one in just a second. Is all of you, if I said, can I just labor on this point for a second?
Yeah.
If I said to you, tell me what's right with you, the truth is most of you would have to work real hard to come up with anything more than one, two, or three things. Yeah. But if I said, tell me the list of what's wrong with you, man, you would just be like flipping pages, this, I wish this was this, and more of this, and less of this, and a little to the left and to the right, and what I'm just saying is, can we break up with that hidden list that you carry in your back pocket, the things that you know you can't say out loud because it's not right, and yet it's in there where you go, I just wish this part of me was different. We're breaking up with that. Does that make sense? So let's say this, I break up with that.
I break up with that.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I say yes to loving myself.
I say yes to loving myself.
Now this isn't really part of this, but I feel by the Spirit to do it, so I'm going to do it. I'm just going to get a little bit crazy right now. Why is this significant to you? Because that's a spirit. And if you stay attached to that spirit, then when you choose a partner, you won't have the eyes of Jesus Christ, but you'll pull out your Hollywood Christianity measuring stick. And you'll go like, well, can't be you, because you're not what we call a supermodel with a quiet time. Or it can't be you, because you don't measure up to the Instagram perfection. Or it can't be you. And so you start looking at people, listen, and you allow the enemy through culture to define to you what is beautiful, what's great, what's desirable, what's noble, what's attractive, without ever parking on Proverbs 31. What is God's definition of a woman of noble character? What's God's definition? Listen, what's God's definition of a champion? What does God look at and say, that's a David. That's a David. That guy will fight for you all the days of your life. And I get it. You know, he's driving an old busted down Honda, but who gives a rip? What does that mean to your future? Is that right? You know? Man, no, I'm going to pick on the guys for a second. It's going to get me in so much trouble. And you're not supposed to date in school, and I'm not changing that. Zach, that's our rule. That's God's rule, right? Well, I want to talk about this. One day your DTS is going to be over. And I'm asking you, who is informing your decision about who's great and who's not? Is it the Holy Spirit? Or do you have an invisible standard that you're going to come to me and defend and go, well, you know, she's got to be this, and she's got to be this, and she's got to be this. And you're just, I'm just going to wait for about 2.5 seconds and just go, hey, stop. Your whole list is fake, and I don't want to hear any other attributes. Go back and get the mind of God and then come back and talk to me. But ladies, you got to have that same heart, you know? You can't be rolling around and going, I need him to be perfect in every way. He has to be the ultimate catalyst, the ultimate preacher, the ultimate evangelist. Oh, and by the way, I need him to be perfectly empathetic at all times. And he's always tuned into my emotions and my thoughts and feelings. Can I just show you right now? That's fake. Lord knows that's fake. Can I really write this right now? Come on, save me for myself.
That's true.
That's true. Lord knows I'm talking about. Amen. Is so much of our worldview is informed by these demonic curses about what's beautiful, what's not, what's great, what's not, what's noble, what's not, what's desirable, what's not, what's character, what's not. And I just want to tell you, if you get the mind of God, it will change the way you see the whole world. So let's do this.
We break!
We break!
Every way!
Every way!
Word curses!
Word curses!
Shapes the way we see the world!
Shapes the way we see the world!
We disagree with the enemy.
About Gen Z. About Gen Z.
We disagree with the enemy.
We disagree with the enemy.
About those you put in my life.
About those you put in my life.
Amen. Oh, yeah, let's get that one. We kind of hit on that. No, but let's do it again. Lord, heard the next one was this. Was a word curse against our generation that we're flaky? Oh, whoa, that had a reaction. Do you feel like you've ever heard that before? Yeah, and I'm just here to tell you that I think that that's fake, I think that's false, I think that's demonic, and I really believe that this is the next greatest generation. And there's a reason that your generation is on the earth at this time where we're seeing such upheaval. Is it because the original design of your generation is to be the greatest generation that brings harvest in this time? Actually afraid to make a commitment. So I hide behind a veil of Holy Spirit ledness. When I want to tell you this, I promise you the Holy Spirit does not have a hard time finding you. If he wants to change what you're doing, he knows exactly where you're at all times. It is not hard for God to get your attention. But what he's asking is this, will you courageously make a commitment and trust me? Oh, here it is. Because it's the word curse of what I call the upgrade. Just like I need the new iPhone every year, I don't want to commit to a calling because what if, and I always hear this, but yeah, but what if something, a better opportunity comes along and I'm not free to do that? So I want to keep my options open. Not in this context, but we've got men on the earth who are afraid to commit to a woman of God because he's always like, what if something comes better? And I go, you need to break up with your upgrade culture and realize you're sealing your own faith right now. That was too much, probably. Generational thing when every day you're told you need something new. Then when the Lord comes and goes, I want you to give 2 years to fill in the blank. You're like, what? 2 years? Well, so much can happen in 2 years. No, not really. It's just 2 years. You're going to wake up one day and go, wow, 2 years went by. No, I'm for real. Like, I think 10 years is the next, it's a new 2 years. You know, like, when are we just going to go, I'm not afraid. If the Lord says it, I'll commit and I'll trust that if God wants to move me on, he'll get my attention and move me on. So let's all say this. I break the curse.
The curse.
That I'm not good at commitment.
That I'm not good at commitment.
I say yes. To obeying God.
To obeying God.
With radical trust.
With radical trust.
And radical commitment.
And radical commitment.
I commit to my calling. I don't need an upgrade. I commit to my friends. I don't need an upgrade. I commit to my housemates.
So fun. This is the funnest group ever. Zach's gonna fire me after today. I'm gonna be back tomorrow. Here we go. Alright, here we go. It's the last word curse I want to break to you that some of you have spoken over yourself, but we're all gonna pray it out, is this. I work best alone. And this would be the subheading. This would be the justification, is this. It's easier for me to take care of things by myself. But the Lord says this, the Lord says that's not true about you, that's rooted in rejection. So you've learned that independence is a safe space for us. So we're saying yes to healthy biblical interdependence. Healthy biblical interdependence.
It says to me, I pray the curse.
The curse.
That I work best alone.
That I work best alone.
That it's easier for me.
That it's easier for me
to take care of things by myself.
To take care of things by myself.
That's a lie.
That's a lie.
It's rooted in rejection.
It's rooted in rejection.
I say yes. To healthy.
Biblical.
Interdependence.
Interdependence.
When I'm tempted to withdraw from others. To me that I need to draw near to others.
That is a sign to me that I need to draw near to others.
Last thing we're going to do. Thanks for bearing with us, guys. We're just waiting on the Lord here. Okay, last thing we're going to do is this.
Is I think it's a final category. There's a special category of word curses that only you would know. And in truth, it's that thing you know you say about yourself that you know you shouldn't say. Then when push comes to shove in the secret place of your life, it's how you view yourself and describe yourself you know you ought to, but it's a little bit like a drug of choice. It's a false comfort, and you say it, and you're harming only yourself. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask the Lord to speak to you, the Holy Spirit to speak to you. We're going to wait on the Lord for 10 seconds. Okay, and whatever the Lord brings to mind in terms of that thing, and it should be something you know, like you're familiar with it. Okay, then we're going to all unleash out loud with ferocity together. If you hear nothing, here's what you're going to do. You're just going to go crazy out loud that every curse would be broken on every life in here, that every single one of your friends and peers leaves this room today 100% curse-free. How many of you want to be curse-free? So hear this. Let's wait on the Lord. Lord, we just wait on you right now. We open our hearts to you. Holy Spirit, speak to each individual. Is there a unique and specific word curse they need to break over their life? So we wait on you. Don't say it out loud. Wait, we're all going to go together. We're not going open mic moment right now. Okay, I'm not going to make you say it out loud yet. Raise your hand really high if you heard a phrase or a word. Raise it high. Okay, so on the count of three, with just that same ferocity, you're going to go out loud. And don't worry about being heard, because the person to your left and right is going buck wild too. And then if you didn't hear anything, I want you to go extra buck wild. Here's why. Because love covers. Love covers. So you're covering your body. You're not listening in. No, you're handling your own business. And then you go, you get free, I'll get free. We'll plow through the enemy and I'll meet you on the other side. So count of three, you're going to go crazy for 20 seconds, maybe 10. One, two, three, go. To the best of our ability, and we trust in the grace of God. We don't trust in ourselves, but we have said yes, we've gone after. So we declare as best as we know today, we're curse free, and we trust you that if there's something else that we need to bring up and that you need to bring up, you'll do that. You're faithful to do that, but we're not going to live afraid and worry about it. So we're going to move forward now in freedom and trusting in you, and then if it comes up, we'll just break it right then and go on with our business in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. You got 30 minutes. I want you to do this, is grab your, sit down, take a seat, grab your freedom manual. You won't have to listen long, I promise. We'll be right back into activation. You guys feeling good right now? How many feel like something just lifted off your mind? Yeah, it's real, man. Let's go. Okay, grab your freedom manual. So you remember the four R's. Okay, number one was repent, number two was receive, number three was rebuke, and number four was what?
Replace.
So we're going to do what I call a replacement exercise. Replace, the fourth R. Did you want me to redraw that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, replacement, here it is. In my experience, oh, can't even write. Hey, replace is the most neglected R. It's also, in my experience, the R that gives you the biggest bang for buck in terms of your transformation. The Bible says that you're changed, you're transformed by the renewal of your mind. That word changed or transformed in the Greek, where's my friend, is it Adriana? I'm going to risk it. Here it is. The Greek for that is metanoia. No, it's not metanoia. It's where we get the word metamorphosis from. You're changed. You're transformed, right? And so literally the Lord is saying when you're changed, it's like a whole new creation. Prior to that, you go in and then you come out. You're completely new. How does that happen? It's the renewal of your mind. And that word renewal in the Greek literally means a far more aggressive activity than you're thinking. The word renewal, the renewal of your mind, the idea of that word would literally be if you bought a fixer-upper house and you gutted the house. It means you ripped it down to the studs. You fixed every internal board and screw and pipe, and then you rebuilt the entire house from the studs up and out. That's renewal. So I want you to ask this question. When I get to the fourth R, am I just slapping a coat of paint on my brain? Or do I go, let's strip it down to the studs and rewire that thing and give me a brand new way of thinking? What I'm trying to say is there's an effort that goes into that. There's a labor that goes into that. There's a consistency that goes into that. There's intentionality. And what I see a lot is it's easy in a moment of passion to go,
I repent for this, that, and the other, and I did it, and I received forgiveness, and I'm so forgiven, and I take authority over the devil, and you suck, and you're gone right now. Boom, you're gone in Jesus' name.
But now what? Now I have to go home. What about an hour from now? What about 2 hours from now? And who's ever had a great prayer time, and the next morning you wake up and that old thought pattern is back? And you get defeated and discouraged. But I'm saying don't be defeated and discouraged. That's where replacement hits. That's where replacement goes. And the Lord goes, no, now's where you win the battle. So the first R's, this is the way I look at it. I'm going to go artist mode here. You guys are laughing at all my artistic ways. Okay. Okay, remember, this is the way I look at it, and if you can't see it, I'll spin the board here in a second. But a stronghold, remember, is like a fortress. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Right? I know, guys. It's amazing. Oh, sorry. I don't want to deprive you of this revelatory exercise. I know. 30 seconds ago, it wasn't clear, and now it all makes sense, right? The picture did. What about over here? Do we need to do this? Oh, okay, there it is. Okay. So here's the deal. When we start going first three R's, repent, rebuke, replace, repent, receive, rebuke.
To me, it's like, you're coming in and you're bulldozing that stronghold. We'll take away the artwork. Oh, you
still got the ground, right? Okay, but remember, prior you had a vulnerability here. You had a vulnerability, you had a weakness. And so to me, like, if you just stop at the first three R's, it's kind of, you're leaving yourself open to further attack. The Bible says in the book of Matthew that when an evil spirit leaves a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest. And when it does not find it, it goes and gets seven other spirits more wicked than itself. They return to the place where they left. Don't miss this. You're about to get into topaz. And it finds that place swept clean and put into order. And so all those other spirits go into the man and they take habitation in him. And the Bible says that his final condition is worse than it was to begin with. So when you get breakthrough and you don't fortify yourself to hold your ground, you're making yourself vulnerable to being in a worse state. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
What book of the Bible is that?
Yeah, it's in Matthew, and I'll get you the address. I just don't have the address off the top of my head. And if you're a Bible scholar, which there's many of you in the room, I'm sure, and you know it, just feel free to shout it out. I'm good with that. Okay. Just if you find it, you can throw it out. So here's what I want to do is don't leave yourself vulnerable. So replacement to me... Literally, oh, here it is.
Matthew 12:45.
Thank you so much. Let's give it up for that. I feel like my artist skills failed me on this one, okay? So what I do is when I'm tearing down a stronghold, it's my goal to rebuild a fortress in its place. Don't miss this. And Laura and I call this a truth fortress. Because a truth fortress says where I once was weak and vulnerable and taken advantage of, now I'm strong. And Jesus resides in this place in my life. So when the enemy tests your breakthrough, and he'll always test your breakthrough, he comes and knocks on the front door. But this time, instead of you opening the door, Jesus opens the door and says, how can I help you? And that's how you hold your ground. So I want to give you an exercise on how you build a truth fortress. Everyone say truth fortress. Grab your freedom manual and turn to the very back. I want you to go right now to page 164. 164. This is a section called the Christian Birthright Card. There are three sections here. There's the Christian Birthright Card. That's two pages. I'm going to show you how to do this. It'll be very practical and fun. then 2 pages on God's love and God's forgiveness, and then a bunch of pages on what's called walking in the opposite spirit, which are scriptures that are specifically organized to combat specific strongholds. Okay, now I'm going to show you how this works. Everyone stand up. Go back to page 164, the Christian birthright card. Okay, now listen. I'm going to show you how this works. So don't just go like, okay, I'm going to ponder the truth. No, pondering truth doesn't help. What we do is we declare truth. And declaring truth is different than saying truth. Declaring truth has a punch. Oh, what's happening right here? Supernatural skills. Truth Fortress, boom. So when I'm building truth, listen, when I'm building Truth Fortress, I'm not just doing this. This is not Truth Fortress exercise. I'm the light of the world, and the darkness cannot suppress it. I'm living in Christ's authority, which gives me the enemy. I wonder what time it is. So 12:38. Hungry for lunch right now. That's gonna keep going. Part of the true vine. No, that's not helpful. Okay, what you're doing is you're taking truth and you're pushing the enemy back. You're pushing the enemy back. There's a violence. You're driving that truth down into your soul. You're building a fortress in this area. So I want you to do this with me. And you do it however you need to do it, but I'd recommend you get as wild as you can. Standing on chairs is permitted, though not required, however you want to do it. But now we're going to do Matthew 5:14 all together on the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
I am the light of the world, and the darkness cannot suppress it.
Next one, Luke 10, go.
I am living in Christ's authority, which gives me power over all the power of the enemy.
Everyone say, all.
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 So if that's true, wait, if that's true, then what is coming against you today that you cannot overcome? All right, here we go. John 15, ready, set, go.
I am part of the true vine, a channel of Christ's life and energy.
Wait, the very power and life of Jesus Christ is flowing through you right now, regardless of your emotional state or what you feel. That is true. Romans 8, ready, set, go.
I am not with them, but declare the Holy Forgiven and righteous in Christ.
Wait, so if you're not condemned, then why are you walking in condemnation? Say this with me. Say, I am not condemned.
I am not condemned.
I am forgiven.
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 Oh, no, I'm so sorry. That's my fault. Hey, let's keep going. Here we go. I want you to keep punching. All right, come off your chair so nobody gets hurt. That's my fault. Apologize. I mean, you don't have to, but it's just take the risk of your own risk. All right, here it is.
Taylor, are you okay?
All right, I want you to turn over to page 168. Turn over to page 168. These are all verses on God's love and forgiveness. Okay, real quick, the ones we just did, those 2 pages, we call those the I am statements. So I want to ask you, what would your daily life be like if the moment you got out of bed, you were not concerned with what was happening on social media, you weren't concerned with what was happening in the news, but what if your very first thought was, I'm going to establish my identity in truth, and you started pounding, I am, I am, I am, I am. Check it out. Some of you struggle to believe that God loves you, and I get it. I've been there, and I'm still in there sometimes. Go to page 168. Do these with me. We're going to pray. We're going to say these out loud. Declare them with punch. Psalm 32:10. Ready, set, go.
Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him.
Now, I'm going to show you next step. So declaring truth with punch will drive the renewal of your mind so far, so fast. You will literally go like, man, I feel totally renewed. Okay, but there's a next step to the exercise that I do. So I need Daniel, come on, you're gonna help me. You're my helper. Come on, Daniel. So in a moment, listen, all of you guys, you're gonna do this in just a second. I'm gonna have you get in pairs and you're gonna start to do this. But this is what I'll do. This is what I'm going to ask Laura. She had to leave, I think, get our kids. But Laura and I do this every day. Every car ride is an opportunity to expand your territory in truth. Yes. Ask my kids, 16, 14, and 12. But you better look out. If Dad's on a truth tirade, I'm going to pin you down and start declaring truth over my boys. It's truth, truth. And sometimes my kids are like, I get it. He loves me. And I'm like, no. You don't get it, and I'm gonna get crazier on you right now. But I'm like, why not? The truth is available to you. Drive it deeper, press it further. So let me show you this tool. So sometimes when you're declaring, you're gonna hit one that strikes a thought. Pray the scripture, react to the scripture. So this,
we're just gonna do it together live. I'll go first and then you'll go. Does that sound good? So we'll just read through, and if your heart gets sparked, you just pop off, and you pray that truth. We'll go the next one. So it's like this. Okay, I'll go first. Psalm 32:10. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts him. God, I trust you. I do trust you. I know that I trust you. And I declare that your love is unfailing and it surrounds me. I literally declare a wall of God's unfailing love and fire around me because I'm filled with trust.
My point is, it's not so much what you say, it's the attitude with which you say it. So you're pushing the enemy back with truth, truth, truth. You go.
Psalm 86:13. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. Yeah. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your love towards me is unfailing. Yeah. And that's no lie, Lord God. Yeah. I thank you, Lord God, for you've delivered my life from oppression, from suppression, Lord God.
Because sometimes what happens is this has happened to me, is your buddy you realize is an even better prayer than you, and you got sparked by his prayer. So you're like, well, I'm not moving on. I'm getting on the deliverance train right now.
And then you're like, yeah, God, you're the best deliverer. You delivered me. I thank you, God. You delivered me too. So you can respond to your buddy. There's no rules. You're just truth. Truth. Everyone say truth.
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 Truth. Truth.
All right, let's keep going. All right, here we go. You guys get the feel?
Yeah.
All right, you can go back up. Okay, I'm about to turn you loose. Hang on. Go to the final section. Go to page 172. And on this section, what you do is you identify a stronghold that you're actively overcoming. So I'm going to choose one that I think's really just kind of pretty simple and straightforward. We did it yesterday. It was fear. So you see on page 172, instead of being fearful, so you're actually cultivating scriptures that are the opposite spirit of what you're overcoming. And you're driving those deep. So here it looks like this. I do not fear.
I do not fear.
Yeah, go with me. I do not fear.
I do not fear.
My confidence is in the Lord.
My confidence is in the Lord.
Don't pray this, but some of you need to, in the future, react to that and declare the reason you're insecure is because your confidence is in yourself, and you need to shift your confidence to the Lord. And the Lord goes, if you'll put your confidence in me, you'll feel so secure. You'll have a great day. Here we go, Proverbs 29. I am kept safe because of thy trust in the Lord, and I will not fear man. And some of you need to discover, I don't fear man, I don't fear man, I don't fear man. We've confessed, I struggle with fear man so much, we're cursing ourselves. And the Lord says, no, say you don't fear man. Okay, so this is what I want you to do in pairs. I'm going to turn you loose, and you can choose any section. You can go the I ams, you can go God's love and forgiveness, or you can choose an opposite spirit. But I want you to begin to pound through scripture. I want you standing up. This should just turn into a crazy, just inferno of wild declarative prayer. Go for it. Pause, pause, pause. Man, you guys are on fire right now. It's like Liftoff City. You guys are crushing it. feel like as you do it, you can feel clarity come into your mind. So that's the power of the Word of God. Sometimes the reason we're under so much confusion or oppression is because we have to activate the Word. And it's a simple activity. It's the declaration of the Word with truth. The Bible says that to some the gospel was preached, but it had no value because they did not combine the message with faith. So the reason I'm having you, I'm teaching you declarative, is it's not enough to just consider truth. You have to combine truth with faith, and there's supernatural power in that. Now listen, check it out real quick. Don't miss this. The reality is that everywhere you go in your life on any given day, the enemy will not attack you when you're strong. The enemy is smart enough to know, I'm going to wait till you don't feel great, I'm going to wait till you're alone, and I'm going to wait till you're surrounded by people, so I got your, this move is tied up. So I'm punching you, I'm helping you punch through in doing this, but I want you to see that authority comes from the heart, not your volume. So there are times in your life where you need to be able to do what I call the shout whisper. Because if you go to the local coffee shop and you whip this out and you just get on a chair and go ham, they're calling the cops and I can't help you in that moment. I'm just going to be like, man, I guess you're going to have a prison ministry. It's going to turn out okay. You know? So you have to know how to fight when it's inconvenient for you. So how do I do that? Two things. I always know seasonally what I'm breaking through. I ask the Lord, what am I breaking through? What am I actively overcoming? So I am participating with the Spirit. Ephesians commands us to be in step with the Spirit. So season by season, I know, because remember, the Holy Spirit's good. He knows you can't sustain thousands of breakthroughs all at one time. He just knows that we're finite. So we're like, I'm in, I'm sincere, I'm wholehearted, but I can only half break through one thing at a time. And the Lord's like, I know, I got you. So the Lord will incrementally, season by season, he'll go layer by layer, and he'll go, don't worry, I'm with you. We're going to take this stronghold, then this stronghold, then this stronghold. So just trust the pace of the Spirit. But season by season, I know where I'm overcoming. And I compile, don't miss this because I'm about to have you do it. I compile verses that are specifically targeted at that topos, that territory in my life, at fortifying me. And then I carry those in my pocket and 3x5 cards. And the goal is not to memorize them. The goal is, I literally look at them like my little daggers. Like, if you're coming at me, I'm gonna be dangerous to you. So if you're coming at me, you just better know I'm gonna hit back. Okay, because Jesus, right, when he's in the desert and he gets tempted, does he say, stop it, you're not nice, stop it, leave, oh, not today. That's it. No, he says, it is written. Everyone say, it's written.
It's written.
And so he hits back. Truth. Everyone say truth.
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 You have to look at yourself and go, am I dangerous to the enemy or am I a pushover? So this is what I do. When I first started breaking through, man, I had so many thought patterns I was trying to wrestle. And I had a regular job. Remember, I was a young man in the military. So I would always have my cards. And so it seemed like I would get attacked sometimes. I'm not exaggerating. It seemed like it would be 15, 20 times a day where I would just come under attack. So what I would do is my coworkers probably thought I was crazy, but I just would excuse myself without saying anything to the restroom. Yeah. They were probably like, man, you must have had some bad eating. No, I was doing business with God. Yeah. And I would be in there and I'd be like, this. Yeah, it's the shout whisper. Everyone say shout whisper.
Shout whisper.
I want to prove to you that the shout whisper works. Get your book right now. Okay, go back to instead of fearful on page 172. Instead of fearful, I want you to look number 3 down to 2 Timothy 1:7. But this time, you're going to pray with intensity, but with a whisper. And I want to prove to you, listen, that no matter your volume, when you're operating in faith, the enemy must respond because you have authority in Christ. So everyone's exercising the shout whisper right now. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, go. All right, regular voice, here you go. Here's what I want you to do for the next 3 minutes with your buddy. I want you to read out loud these scriptures, and I want you to select 3 verses that are specific to you in this season that you're going to add to your toolkit, okay? I don't have cards for you, but today your assignment is to write those down on a 3x5 card, have them in your pocket, and to actively use them on a daily basis. Now, some of you will go, can I use my phone? Sure. But here's my problem with phones, is whenever I'm under battle, some of you are under battle because of your phone. Number two, sometimes when you're under battle and you go to your phone, you realize you've got 43 mixed texts, and you're just like, oh, I want to see what so-and-so said, and then this is up, and you get distracted from the battle. So I like the old-fashionedness of cards because it just keeps me focused, but you do whatever works for you. So out loud, reading scriptures, I want you to find three scriptures you're going to add to your toolkit, and then I'll say amen. Go for it. All right, let me pause where you're at. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to say amen. It's 12:59. Turn you loose for today. But here's my homework assignment for you is I want you with a friend from your house to read through all those scriptures, all three sections. And I want you to build out, not long, this is the key for replacement scriptures. If you get too many, you get lost in the sauce. The key is I would say probably maximally, and if you have, you know, you can do more great, less great, but maximally I can probably do 5 to 8 that I'm cycling through. So 5 to 8 scriptures that are really pertinent to what God's doing in my life right now. They have deep meaning, and I'm pounding those. The goal is not memorization. The goal is actively praying. Whenever you get attacked, never delay fighting back. Fight back immediately. Okay, what you will find is as you do that over the course of your day and multiple days, you don't need your cards anymore because as soon as the attack comes, the truth will counter in your mind. And that's how you know you're building your truth fortress, is all of a sudden you're like, I don't even need the cards anymore. You'll just start punching through with the truth that's in there. Okay, as you do that, as the seasons go by, go get new scriptures then. So that happens maybe for a few weeks for me, and then I'll go, I'm going to go get 5 or 6 more. So I want you to start to add this to what you're doing. I'm going to pray for you and say amen. Turn it over to Zach or whoever's coming up. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for freedom from word curses. We thank you for freedom from anger and rejection and all the power of the past. God, we thank you. You're fortifying us in your truth and in your power for the future. Father, thank you that your word tells us we have everything we need for life and godliness today. Thank you that nobody here is in lack. Nobody here is missing anything, but everyone's right on time at the right place doing the right things. So I pray today you would fill them with joy, with peace, and the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Man, I thought we took some ground today. That was epic. Okay, we're going to wrap up. Here's the deal. I'm about to put something in the Discord. There's one location we forgot to put in the tour.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.